Amen. Good morning. We're glad to be here this morning. If you notice, the air is flowing again. Last Sunday we did not have air. We had problems. You know, who do you call when you have a problem with the air handler? It was the fan and the air handler specifically. We had an easy solution. We called the fan club. If you want to become a Richard Schneer, get your behind in here. He's out in the lobby. He is you are the unofficial chair of the fan club since you helped repair the fan on Friday. So, yeah, thank you, Richard, for your help. And the members, we all have scruffy knees and grease under our fingernails, so it's an initiation there. But again, thank you, and thank you for your support that we were able to do that work because you support us through your offering. On the back of the bulletin, you see some of the announcements for the church, some of the things going on. We are set for our church charge conference, our annual church gathering, and we will be doing it virtually. There are enough people that don't come out on evenings, and we want everybody to be accessible, so we're going to do that virtually. We may or may not be doing it with the district superintendent. She can designate an elder to convene our gathering. We'll have to wait and see how that goes. But set the date aside, November 15th, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and we'll have our annual church meeting. We'll ratify and prepare ourselves for the year. Other announcements for the good of the order. What other things do we need to lift this morning and be aware of? Don Boyles is not here. He was ill and is not able to be the liturgist. James Dixon came in and I just button-hooked him and said, can you read? And he said, yes, I can read. And I said, well, you're reading scripture. So here he is. And we're grateful for him to fill in. But if you see him up here and see Don's name, you'll understand why. So we're in the midst of that. We are about gathering. We're about preparing and we're about worshiping. Amen. Stand if you will, wave to one another, and let's turn to our call to worship.
All right, please let us remain standing for the call to worship. Come before God, not leaving the world behind, but drawing it into God's sacred presence.
We gather on this
September morning
to praise
and pray, to mourn and repent. Come before God with your hearts open to the Holy One. We gather
on this
to reclaim our allegiance to God,
to follow
and the risky way. Come together with your arms open to your neighbors as our Lord Jesus has directed. Praise God, all
for leading us and directing us, for comforting us and confronting us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Please remain standing for the opening hymnal. What wondrous love is this? Time for the first scripture reading. It comes from the Old Testament, the book of Amos. Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. It can be found in the Pew Bible on page 807. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale. We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of these deeds. Word of the Lord.
By way of concerns, it seems like we have a handful of those this morning. Want to lift Tim and Helen Collins. They were going on vacation, and I don't know how far they got, but Helen said that Tim collapsed and ended up in the hospital in the ER, and so that was the end of that voyage and that journey. So he is doing okay now, but he is not getting younger, and their struggle continues. So want to lift them for prayers and be aware of them. I want to lift as well hurricanes. Hurricane Fiona, is it, that is coming up through the Caribbean, going to travel across the Dominican Republic and Haiti. Haiti, the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. I've been there. They have nothing and no resources and no ability to cope with such things. So those people need our prayers. It is intriguing that on the news they lifted the hurricane there, but did not mention the hurricane. They don't call them hurricanes in Japan. They call them typhoons. Thank you. The word just went right out of me. It was just gone. But a typhoon is coming ashore in Kyushu, the southernmost island. They are evacuating. 200,000 people are in the middle of being overwhelmed there. So aware of our friends, neighbors in Japan as well. Flooding other places around the country, fires in California, we want to be aware of all of those. We lift to Don Boyles, prayers for him. Prayers for him that his struggles continue. We're still looking for donors and all of that sorts of things going on. I want to be sure and welcome as well the people that are watching us online. We have a robust and faithful online community, and so we're glad to have them and be aware of those. The other people listed in the printout, you see them and you are aware of them. Just want to make sure that all of us have given thought to and those prayers. Do you have other concerns that you'd like to lift this morning? I don't see others. And as we turn to today's birthday list, I have to start with a young lady who's been in this worship gathering for a while now. And I understand today, this very day, is Virginia Kniff's 99th birthday. So we're going to sing happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Virginia.
I didn't hear what you said, ma'am. She said thank you, and we say thank you, and blessing, and many more birthdays. Other people of note that we are going to be lifting, this is the 18th, I think I have the right Sunday. Monday, Colleen and Will have been married for 30 years, is that right? Your anniversary? Happy anniversary to you. Marjorie Nuss on Tuesday, Funaki has a birthday on Wednesday. Mike Mitchell on Wednesday. Sonny Dawson on Thursday. Kiana Ryder. I thought I saw the girls coming in. I don't see Kiana here, but Ahi has a birthday on Thursday. Those of you who have watched Ahi grow up, he will be 29. Is that a celebration or what? And Colin Armstrong, you watched him grow up in this church as well. How old do you think he's going to be? 31. So that will be next Sunday. So those birthdays. Others, did we miss birthdays? Did we miss anniversaries? We celebrate all of those, and we celebrate those milestones and those moments and any others and many more. Amen? Let's turn to our unison prayer. You find it printed in your worship bulletin or online. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Offer up your thanks as well as your concerns. Let the hearts of those who are aching seek the Lord and rejoice. May they discover the Lord's strength. We seek God's presence continually. We remember the wonderful works Jesus has done and seek his miracles and even his judgments. We seek God's guidance. Lord, be with us this day. Take a moment, if you will, silent meditation. Loving Lord God, thank you for joining us in this worship this morning, for this day of Sabbath, this day to pause and refrain from all of the things that drive us, that distract us, that pull us, that tug at us, that worry us, and to set aside this day and come and sit before you in your holy presence through your holy grace. We give you thanks for the days. We give you thanks for the rain. We give you thanks for the summer and the growing plants and flowers and trees and the fruit of the harvest. And as we turn to fall this week, we give you thanks for the colors that will come, for the chill in the air that will remind us of the change of seasons, for the wonder of your wondrous creation. As we come here and we gather, we celebrate birthdays. 99 years, amen, wonderful. Lord God, you have blessed us beyond measure, and we are grateful. We also lift those who are struggling, of body, who are struggling of spirit, who are alone, who are afraid. Lord, help us be the Christians you call us to be that reach out in whatever ways we've been gifted. Help us to be your emissaries, your ambassadors to the world, your caregivers, your hands and your feet. And Lord Jesus, guide us. Guide us to where we're needed and how we're needed. Thank you, Lord, for this church, for our ability to do ministry, for the gifts and graces you've given each of us, and for the Spirit that continues strong. May we sing and celebrate you in all ways at all times. Hear us as we pause now and gather with people around the world in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As Debbie Gunther is making her way forward for a brief mission moment, I want to thank you for your offering. As I say, the church fan club did make some repairs, so saved us a bundle of money. We do have an outpouring of holy water. There is a leak in the basement, and we're going to have a plumber fix it. Richard and I looked at it and thought about fixing it and decided we don't need a pool in the basement. And so do, if you can, give a little extra that we might be able to afford a plumber to come and fix. Although it is holy water, maybe we should bottle it. I don't know. Debbie Gunther, I invite you up as we are celebrating the chair of the mission committee. Our mission.
Good morning. Is that time of year when I start talking about the Aurora Crop Hunger Walk? Okay, I'm sure that most of you know that it started out as being in 1947, and it stood for Christian Rural Overseas Relief Program. And then in the inception in 1969 was the first walk in Bismarck, North Dakota. And it has grown ever since then, and we've been having walks in the Aurora area, I believe, since 1980s. And it's only getting bigger, but this year it is coincides with World Day Hunger, so we want to have a food drive to give to Aurora Inner Church. And crop, 25% stays here at Aurora Inner Church, and the rest, because it's under the umbrella of Church World Services, it goes to Church World Services. Now, Kathy Moton and the rest of the Aurora Crop Hunger Walk Committee would like people to go online. I've got a team on online under the crop, under Burns Memorial Church, and just go in there to donate. But if you can't do that, of course, I will take the money, cash, to who it needs, to our treasurer. But there's other opportunities to give online if you'd like to. Now, this next week is our crop fundraiser for September. It's at Sabor, which is the Target shopping center. And it's from 11 in the morning till closing. And I just want to thank everybody for all the support and the fundraisers. The flyers are out in the narthex for this month. And thank you for all the support throughout the years. And I will be having bringing boxes for the food drive. Okay? Thank you.
Our second and final scripture reading comes from the New Testament, Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. And please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is it that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to him himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I'm dismissed as manager, people will welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe the master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "How much do you owe?" He replied, 100 containers of wheat." He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Remain standing.
So there's a video on this song, The Summons, but we're only singing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5, they do not sing verse 3 on this video. So if you're following along the book, you know. fear inside and never be the same. Will you use a faithful vow to reshape the world around? Through my sight and touch and sound in you. Let me turn and follow you and never be the same. In your company I go, will your love and footsteps show that I move in your love in me.
Amen. Man, you sounded like a choir of thousands. Thank you. We have played that video before. Please be seated. And I've always wondered, did they rehearse that before they filmed it? Did they tell the people? Because some of the people are pretty well duped out there, aren't they? Beautifully done, though. The summons, God summoning us and us responding. Interesting morning, interesting scriptures, and there's a couple things to beware of on the front of your bulletin. That quilt is named Praise the Lord, Manna from Heaven. It is in a museum somewhere, I've forgotten, but Harriet Powers, approximately 1895. And the manna coming from heaven. You remember the scripture, the Hebrews are in the desert, they're hungry, there's nothing, and God feeds them with manna. They wake up in the morning and they find the manna. Don't confuse mammon with manna. Two similar words. Mammon in the Old Testament meant money, and the modern Hebrew word for mammon means wealth. Mammon, money, okay? And this sermon speaks something about mammon, about wealth, and about money. Now, I want you to pause with me. Some of us are no longer spring chickens. But go back, if you will, to when you were first responsible for your own checkbook, your own finances. Were you like me? I remember being in debt. I went from single, I got married and had kids. There's four of us in the course of a week. And so all of a sudden, my budget said, no, this is not going to work at all. And our budget got behind, and our checks got slowed down, and our credit cards got piled up, and there was a debt load. And I remember distinctly feeling ashamed. I had to go to the bank and beat a check. There was a check that had been written that would certainly cause an overdraft. And so I had to get to the bank and make a cash deposit to just eke by this check that was coming in. And I remember going in and going up to the counter and thinking, gosh, what would they think of me if they knew that I am in this unstable of a financial condition? What would they think of me? I felt guilt and I felt shame. I had forgotten about those feelings and emotions till I was working on this sermon. And I thought it's worth pausing and backing up and recognizing and remembering that time. And I remember another time, I was driving a borrowed car. I don't remember why, but I was driving down the Valley Highway. We used to call it the Valley Highway. Do they call it that anymore, I-25? I don't think I've heard it called the Valley Highway in a while. But I was driving along, and I was in this brand new vehicle, and I remember driving along thinking, I'm really somebody. And because of this shiny, brand new car. And as soon as I thought that, I thought, I had never realized that I didn't feel that way in my beat-up Volkswagen. I had a Volkswagen that was unique. Every fender was a different color. There were dents and dings. We had bought it when it was brand new. It was on its third engine. And I loved that car, and it never failed me. It never let me down. But it didn't look like a shiny, brand new car. And I remember thinking, how in the world can I feel differently because I'm driving a different car? And then I remembered college. I was in college, and that was back right before the invention of light. I had a professor of psychology. Her name was Pat Fink. What a name for a professor, huh? So when I saw that on my, you got to take psychology, first year of college. Pat Fink, I didn't know if it was male or female, and I thought, what a name to be named Fink. She was a little fireball, smallish woman, but she was something else, and she never gave us an inch before she kept learning us. She just really grew us up. One day, she led us into a conversation about how sometimes you'd be somewhere, you're driving through the poor part of town and you see a ramshackle house, tar paper shack, beat up, decrepit weeds, a terrible looking place, and in the front yard is a brand new car. And you think, what irresponsible people. And I remembered as well, there was a food bank I was working one day, and a woman drove up to the food bank in her Cadillac, and she was wearing very fine clothes. And the people near me noticed and made comment. But Pat Fink challenged us. She said, consider that you are poor. You live in a place that you'll never be able to get out of. You are trapped by debt and poverty and systems that you will not overcome. And it continues to weigh on you day by day, minute by minute. But if you have one set of nice clothes and one nice car that you only drive once a week so that it's pristine, you can get dressed up and you can get in that car. And for a brief moment, you can escape all of that poverty, all of that shame, if you will. I remember sitting in the college class and we were all stunned to consider and to think about that. She had an interesting point. I have never judged anyone for the cars they've driven since, or for the clothes they wear, or for anything else. Today I have new cars. I have my newest car is a 2013. I have to stop and think. It's a Prius. And I got it very inexpensively. It was in a hailstorm. So there are dents all over the car. We nicknamed it Dimples. I am firmly convinced that, golf balls have dimples in them to make them travel faster through the air. I don't know. I haven't done a road test against another Prius, but I think those dimples might be helping us out. But that's my newest car, and I have no ego tied up with cars anymore. I learned a lesson back then, and gradually over time, I dug myself out of debt, although money still worries me, and every day I was checking my bank account this week, and all of a sudden I looked and I thought, this is lower than it's been. What's going on? And I began to panic for a moment, and I realized the first week of vacation. You know, you go on vacation, it's idyllic, isn't it? Everything's wonderful. My first week of vacation, the refrigerator quit. It was not cool. I've been waiting for weeks to drop that. But then I realized, that's why the checking account is a little lower. And then I had to pause and realize I was able to go out the next day and pay cash for another refrigerator. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. I am trying to convince myself that my ego has nothing to do with things anymore, with how well dressed I am, or how fine my haircut is, or which car I drive, or any of those things. I think I'm deluding myself, and there are probably hidden landmines that I am not aware of that I still tie ego to. But I'm trying to let go of all those and realize that self has nothing to do, first off, with money. Jesus knew this. Now, I don't know if in lifting this, if you've thought back over your past, maybe you were born and never had struggles over money, never had to worry about a balance check, never had to worry about financial things. But consider many, many families that are living paycheck to paycheck, that are struggling with, and for whom guilt and shame are those driving feelings. And that's an evil. That evil separates us from our own well-being, our own sense of self, and from God. Money isn't evil. Don't get confused. It's merely a tool to help us exchange services and goods and things. You can't exchange a day's labor for a dozen eggs. It's just not an equal. So you have to use some medium to balance things out. It must be fall coming, huh? Is this fresh water, Carol?
Yes.
Thank you, sister. She knows me well and takes good care of me. Money is not evil, and the Bible doesn't say it is. Timothy does say money, the love of money, is the root of all evil. In the Old Testament, that's where that term mana comes in. The love of mana is the root of all evil. I've debated that for years and years and decades. I'm not sure it's the root of all evils, but it's certainly a serious problem. Because when we put money ahead of other things, we put it ahead of our love of neighbor, and we put it ahead of our love of God and our ability for God to take care of us. Now, all of this is not necessarily a stewardship sermon, although it's certainly talking about our stewardship abilities and whatever, but it's coming back to the gospel lesson. What did you think about that gospel lesson? James got the scripture this morning, did a great job. Thank you, James. There was a glitch there on the scripture. We jumped, and I don't know that Pia didn't catch the jump, but at any rate, we heard it. We heard the word about the rich man, and he has a financial manager who's been defrauding him. But then it kind of sticks on our craw. The manager takes people, and he calls them, and he says, how much do you owe? I owe 100 jugs of wine. Sit down quickly, make it 50, we're even. Another one, how much do you owe? Oh, I own 100 bushels of wheat. Make it 80, and your debt is paid. This sounds like more fraud, doesn't it? But the rich man says, you have dealt shrewdly with these people. You've done a great job. How does that work? How is it possible that that's the case? Scholars have two answers, and the majority of things come down to these two points. One is, heightening the suspense with a cough there. Perhaps, in settling accounts, how much do you owe? 100 jugs? Pay 50. And the manager paid the balance out of his own funds, perhaps. Or, and maybe plus, as the people who were in debt were relieved of part of their debt, helped out of their indebtedness, the manager let them believe that it was the rich man that was letting them off the hook. Both are good things to do. Both are things that are admirable and things that we might reflect on. How can we help people who are feeling tied down and separated from grace and God by guilt and shame, by things? How can we help them restore them? How can we bring them back into God? We need to be aware of one other scripture, and that was Amos. Reading Amos, here's the prophet Amos, and he was he was harsh. He really leaned on the people. But he made some interesting points for the time. You see, those rich ones were defrauding the poor ones. They used unfair scales. They put their thumb on the scale, if you will. They cheated. And they would have been called shrewd, and they would have been called quite business-minded. But it is possible for people with wealth to have advantages that poor people do not have. Think a moment. You want to invest in the stock market. You see where things are going, and you realize, say, this stock is going to grow. You have to have money to buy that stock to make that investment. Say you decide that investing in real estate is a good idea. You have to have money to buy real estate, to invest in real estate, to make money to buy more real estate. It takes money to make money. You understand what I'm saying? So the wealthy and the profitable can sometimes be the opposite of those in need and can push them down. That's what Amos is talking about. Buying the poor for silver and the needy for a poor pair of sandals. There are opportunities for people with funds to take advantage of those without. And Amos is naming those and condemning them and reminding them. Now, all of this is about things that can get twisted and put us at odds with God. Because ultimately, that's what occurs. And I had to stop and think and remember how I felt guilt and shame when I was in debt. And how money is not the determining factor in a person. I served a church once, and one of the trustees, we were gathered in the trustee meeting, and they said, oh, so-and-so used to be on trustees, but his business went bankrupt. And we felt it was inappropriate for someone whose business had gone bankrupt to be a trustee of a church. Think about that a moment. Worth tied to your financial success? There's an error there. There's a placing of mana above humanity. Jesus understands that and is helping us put it back in right relationship. And here's how he sums it up. No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Simple words, words that help us live and find life and find joy and to grow in Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's see if Jesus doesn't call us over the tumult. If Jesus doesn't call us over the overdraft. Number 398, lead us if you will, Mark.
Yes, verses 1, 3, and 5.
Jesus is aware that there are things that can distract us away from faithfulness. And by his grace, he's helping us come back. There is nothing better than being connected with God and knowing that love, knowing that we are beloved and that we are accepted by God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that we belong. May you feel that. May it grow in you always. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands with someone. Let's sing our closing.